Mic check.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
This is Sheeman and Shepherd.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Greetings and salutations, friends. It is a hump day Wednesday. I'm going to say it feels like it's Friday and beyond. It feels like a long week. Okay, here's the deal. We still don't have phones, but we do have the text line. It's 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776. You can still follow us on Twitter at 99.3ESPN. You can still follow me at CraigESPN. You can still follow Pete Shepherd at PSHEP326. Normally I say there's a lot going on, a lot to do today, and we still have a lot of fun planned for you for the next 4 hours. Not a lot going on, though. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, contraire.
There's stuff going on, Pete Shepherd. I wouldn't categorize it as a lot.
Here's the thing. There's plenty to get by the first hour and a half, if not the first 2 hours. So I always assume something is going to happen between – something will happen.
That's so funny. Chris walks by right before we start the show. Hey, Sheeman, you got anything to talk about today for 4 hours? I said, I got about 2.5 hours worth. that's so funny you brought that up.
Really, we should do a whole show because it's a serious issue besides the – obviously, the pandemic, and that goes without saying. I think the responsible thing to do today is to start a GoFundMe page for John J. Fisher. Those of you are saying, well, who's John J. Fisher? John J. Fisher is the majority owner of the Oakland A's, and they can't pay the $1.2 million to the people that are on the Coliseum.
Yep.
So this is the truth. If the season actually started today, they have no home.
That's true.
And the phrase of the day that we will be talking about, that I will say, anytime anything goes wrong for the rest of my life, you will hear me utter the words, force majeure.
Force majeure.
Force majeure simply means, and I remember having this in business law, Mr. Jackson, business law senior year in high school.
Yes.
It came up as some common law term that was started in England back, force majeure, which is French. But it basically means you don't have to pay anybody anything, at least temporarily, if there's like an epidemic or a pandemic or an act of God. And things of that, yeah, war, strike, riot, crime, force majeure. So anytime things start to go awry in your life and you can get away with it, go to your employer and just say, sir or madam, force majeure is the reason why. You're late, you owe a couple of dimes to a bookie.
Yeah.
Lou, force majeure. Force majeure. I can't pay right now. Act of God, epidemic going on.
It's in every contract or mortgage I've ever seen. Everything I've ever signed, it's in there. It's usually about 9 pages deep into the contract, but it's always in there.
Do the Oakland A's really not have? Sorry, do the A's really not have a home right now?
Yes, technically.
They missed their annual payment of $1.2 million April 1st, and they're saying, I'm sorry, we haven't had fans in the stands. We have no money to pay you, force majeure.
Yes.
That's what their lawyers are saying. Now, they have the money.
Oh, I thought that was
using,
a joke.
They're using the force majeure. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
This is real. They missed their April payment.
I thought you guys were doing Seinfeld deadpan humor or something, and I just wasn't catching on to it.
No.
How dare you, sir? You know when I do Seinfeld deadpan humor. Come on.
I'm pretty good with it.
Again, according to a letter from the A's sent March 31st, obtained by the Bay Area News Group, the team cited force majeure in its contract with the stadium, which covers, as I said, all the things I just talked about. So it covers them for a while. It doesn't exempt you forever.
Right.
It's a temporary thing, but I don't know what temporary means. I don't know what that – but I can tell you, honestly, if the season started today, that did not pay the rent to use the Ring Central Coliseum, they would have no home.
Well, they can't play in California anyway. So, go to Arizona or something like that.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. But if you're wondering, now, okay, so I did a little research about Mr. Fisher. And the guy in Moneyball, who you might remember with Billy Beane, was a that was Steve Schott. He's not the owner anymore. This guy took over from him, from the Moneyball movie, John J. Fisher. His net worth, I found out, is $2.4 billion. He's got a BA from Princeton, an MBA from Stanford. Kind of born into money. I mean, when your parents founded The Gap, I think that's a pretty good start.
Sure.
The clothing department store? Yes. Or the clothing store?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Don and Doris, his parents, started that. They were the big mucky mucks in that. Oh. So we kind of inherited that. Yeah.
Good for him.
Yep.
That's funny, Pete, because today I prepared a segment for the 4 o'clock hour. Today is Be a Millionaire Day. I'm going to teach you all how.
You're going to teach me how to be a millionaire?
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. All of us.
Okay, I don't want you to teach me how to be a millionaire. I want you to teach me how to become a millionaire.
Okay. All right.
Right?
Sure.
I don't need to know how to act once I've become a millionaire. I'll act the way I act. I need the roadmap to get from me to millionaire.
I've got the roadmap. 4 o'clock.
I know how to. I've hung around a lot of millionaires.
Sure.
I'm almost there. Yeah.
You know, Pete, I have to say you're probably the first partner I've had on air who wasn't a millionaire.
First of all,
you know what? Maybe you are. I don't know your personal finances.
If I was, I'm like the old Dons, you know, back in the old days. You know, I don't flash anything. I don't flash anything.
Yeah.
You have your money wadded up in a purple rubber band, right?
Sure. Nope.
If you're quietly a millionaire, that's your business. But I have worked with numerous partners that have been millionaire, former players, managers, broadcasters in the business for years.
Now, I work with a former partner who's still a dear friend of mine, but when he signed his new contract that made him a millionaire, a bunch of us got let go after that. I mean,
that stinks.
Oh my God.
So that's a true story.
That's horrible.
Wait, or was it like the next week?
Shortly after.
It was pretty clear that
he
absorbed others' salaries?
Yes. And there were some other major cuts in the company back in 2010. But, it was part of it, yeah. I don't blame anybody, but it would have been maybe a little bit of it could have been spread around to some different people and ease the pain, but that would have not allowed maybe some people to get let go. Me, they let go in 2010 because of it. But then when they still pay your full salary for 11 months, does that make sense?
That's good. That means you have a good contract.
Well, yeah, but just,
you're right. It doesn't make sense. They might as well get work out of you. I hate to be this guy. I was once on the other side of that. Me and my partner just got our third contract at this company.
Yep.
And we're at the Christmas party. The boss let me know at the Christmas party, hey, congrats, we're going to do whatever. And then I run into another producer that I really liked at the company, at the party. And
one you punched?
No.
When he punched.
This is another one, and he was kind of bummed out. He goes, I just found out I'm going to be let go. Budget cuts, all that cuts.
Gosh.
I got it. Right. I was the reason, apparently.
You didn't say anything to him.
Hell no, to this day. This is the first time I've uttered the words out loud to anybody.
Yeah.
It's awful. You just buy him a drink at the bar and say, hey, man, good luck to you.
It wasn't even open bar?
I don't know. Remember? It probably was.
Give him a ticket.
Yeah, give him a
ticket. I'm only
going
to drink my one Coors.
Here's a drink ticket. Go have a scotch on me. Ease the pain. But I think we've all been. I've been on that side. There was a time where they extended me, and there were always. It seemed like anytime anybody signed a new contract, that somebody bit the bullet.
Yeah,
and that's happened. It's just common in broadcasting. It's unfortunate. It happens in radio and TV all the time.
Marilyn Mike says, I guess we're fortunate to still have Craig around after Pete signed his contract earlier. There you go. You did make a big... I might as well tell the audience, I have recently signed an extension myself. I didn't feel it was appropriate to mention in the middle of pandemic and all that. But this show's going to be together for a while, so good news.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned mine before, but just
I
so
know
it's clear.
Yours was before the pandemic. And we we did all the pomp and circumstance that we showed up.
Oh, no, I just said I tried a multi-year deal. Whatever. Yeah.
All right. I have a question to ask you guys.
Well, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I believe next week is our 3-year anniversary together. So
No. Our 3-year anniversary is on Friday, the 22nd.
Man.
Oh, Chris isn't here.
Another anniversary I miss.
You know what?
Oh, what else is new?
You know what? He always is missing. You know, he was
not
here for my first day. I mean, he's just always gone.
I was here for your first day.
Huh?
I was here for your first day.
Okay, here's what happened. I flew in. I came in the Friday. I was supposed to start on Monday. It was championship Monday for the Final Four.
That's right.
And I came in Friday to meet people, fill out the paperwork, met with Adam. Where's Chris?
That's right.
He's not here today. So then I go on the air. I meet you.
First day, he's not there.
Right.
Well, he hadn't
right.
technically started yet, but.
Anyway, so then that's Monday. I believe we do Monday's show and Tuesday's show, and then I think he bolted for the next 3 days to go to Augusta.
No, you're absolutely right about that.
Yeah, because I couldn't get a hold of him. I started before I moved down here, and I knew he was coming to visit. I had got a hold of the station there. I just wanted to poke around. Nothing was official yet, but my goal was still do shows from here, like I'm doing this back to Boston. But I sent him a couple of emails and didn't get back to me. So I said, all right, well, when I knew when I was visiting down here, I wasn't going to have a chance to pop over there. Not that it would have mattered.
Do the pop it.
I don't think you wouldn't have. But it was, so finally when I think it was a week I was here, and I sent him another email, nothing.
Yeah.
I called, they sent me the voicemail, nothing. So then I just said, bleep it, I'm just going to show up.
You did, and that shows initiative, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's not the first time I've done that, actually, but.
It's like in sales,
so what the hell?
Right?
That was great. No, it was fine. We had a nice conversation and that blah, 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 and then whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you want to see the hustle. You want to see the grind.
How bad does he want it?
How bad does he want the job? That's a pretty.
No, I think I had him at when I said I like college football. He's like, you're from New England? You like college football? I said, yeah, I'm a big Hurricanes fan.
I was shocked.
Then I kind of poked fun at Saban a little bit, and you kind of got mad. And then I said, no, I respect I remember. Because you said, come on now. I'm like, well, that's something I haven't heard in a long time. Come on now.
Coco Puffs has just texted in. Good news. Craig Sheeman signs an extension. Bad news. Chris just got fired. No.
I can promise you this. That will never happen.
Right. There's a dynamic in play here that would not happen.
Now, that's a sticky pad bet that is guaranteed.
Who's the last man standing?
212 at 520. Chris will never be fired from WWCN, ESPN, 99.3 Southwest Florida.
Did I get the call letters right?
Just took 3 years.
Green Falcon says it's 3 years already. Shows fly by when they're all fun. Bravo, gentlemen. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. I have a question that eventually will circle back to my narcissist self.
Great.
So yesterday after the show, the wife hits me up, says, hey, we need some groceries. Go out and go buy them.
No, this is on the way home to stop.
Yeah. Right at 6 o'clock. And I typically have not been wearing a mask out to the stores. I don't frown on those that do. I don't frown on those that don't.
I'm with you. I haven't either. I don't frown on anybody.
I have the old standard mask. You know, the standard. It's like blue on one side and white on the other. You know, that everybody else. I said, you know what? I have one with me. I'm going to wear it. Just I don't want to, you know, maybe people. Because Chris was talking about how people, you think people will look at you weird if you don't have one.
Well, I've noticed because if I've got my fishing buff with me, I'll like roll it up and use that as my mask.
Yeah.
If I don't, I'm not going to like drive home to go get it or anything.
No.
Yeah.
But I've noticed when I'm wearing the mask, I feel like everybody who's not wearing the mask is staring and judging.
Right.
And then the opposite effect, when I'm not wearing the mask, I feel like everybody who has their mask on is staring at me and judging.
Right.
Well, I think it's gotten better. Like Publix, grocery stores, I think it's like half and half now, maybe
even
a little less. And it's mostly older people, I'll be honest with you.
Right.
Which is fine.
And again, it is fine. So I said, all right, I'm gonna wear one today, whatever. And then it was a little tangled up. And then I couldn't remember, does the blue side go inward or outward? Is it the white side that's out or the blue that's out on the standard one?
Blue is in.
The
blue,
are you sure?
Yeah.
Because I've noticed a lot of people are wearing it wrong then.
Yeah.
But I sat there in the parking lot outside the store, and I couldn't remember because it's been a while since I went. And so I put it in my pocket, and I walked into the store, which revealed something about myself. I would rather die than look stupid. What does that say about me?
Yeah.
I'm very troubled by myself. I would rather be at risk. I'd rather of dying than looking uncool with a backwards mask. So it's the blue side in, Chris. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So wear this like this,
right.
Not like this. Okay.
Right.
All right. Bad radio there, but I have one in my hand.
Yeah.
Okay. Just as long as we clear that up. I didn't want to look like an idiot and feel stupid.
Well, they're making masks now. I saw somebody on Twitter, somebody posted that some company is making now where you can eat through the mask. It looks totally stupid.
That defeats the purpose.
There's a little slot in the mask where you can, a guy's sticking a fork in, he had a piece of steak, and it gets like stuck as he's trying to put it. And it wasn't a funny bit. It wasn't supposed to be funny, but it was funny.
Yeah. Rock Chalk has texted in, you two are a typical couple. One remembers the anniversary, the other one, yeah, sort of kind of in the ballpark. 727 says it's called nepotism, Craig. Is that when you nepotism?
Oh, no, he was talking about me not getting fired.
I was thinking about something more.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm not going to read some of these.
We can't harass forever. I don't blame you. Blue is out. Vanity. Marilyn Mike.
Blue is out.
No,
blue is in.
Blue is in.
Put it on the. We got to put it on the poll.
Yeah.
That's a poll question
that
today.
That is a poll question.
In a standard. Little cheap medical mask that we all have, is the blue side inside or outside?
I think blue's outside.
I think the blue is inside. I think you wear the white out.
I respectfully disagree.
And the strings that are attached to it, that loop around the ears, they start on the white side. I think that's on the outside. But then again, somebody help me out. You know what I need? I need a nurse. I need a nurse who's off duty. I know you've probably just worked a 40-hour shift, but I need you to text in how the proper way to wear this is.
Oh, I just get some outstanding news from the entertainment world.
Oh, yeah.
I always wondered if this would happen, and now it's about to happen.
What's that?
The Justice League movie, which didn't do that particularly well. I enjoyed it personally, but that's where Zack Snyder had to step away. He had some personal things going on, and Josh Whedon came in last second and did it.
Yes.
Now they are going to release in 2021, Zack Snyder's cut, the Snyder cut of the Justice League. And he says it will be an entirely new thing. You probably saw one quarter of what I did.
Really?
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
That's fantastic.
So.
So there's that.
Yeah. Whenever we can get back and see such things.
Well, it's going to come to, I think it's going to be distributed right to HBO and Cinemax.
Oh, I got you.
So.
I'm getting mixed results on the text, Pete. Married 1 year, blue is in, Craig. Tons of people are wearing it incorrectly. Let's see here. Blue is out, according to Marilyn Mike.
Could be right. I've only put it on once, so I don't remember.
Well, my
mask is in the other room.
JC has sent me a picture. He's got a blue mask where it literally says out on the blue. It's printed on.
Well, serious question, does it matter?
Well, another texter said, as long as you do the same thing
every time. The same thing every time, you should be good.
And Sean in Northport says, yeah, the life and times of Craig. Yeah, I know.
Godzilla says, what if both sides are blue?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Both are white. Yeah, you never know.
Okay. 941 says, my wife works at the hospital, blue side out.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Somebody else says, Craig, you wear tube socks, so don't worry about looking cool, no matter what, which way you wear your mask. Doesn't matter. It's a good point. Let's see. All right. Mm. I guess as long as you do the same thing every time.
Well, and then just, pivoting to sports a little bit. I think I sent you guys a text today about Dak Prescott. There's some fascinating stuff out there. And then there's a new, he was reportedly offered, I'm sure many of you saw it this morning on the scroll, 5-year, $175 million extension, asking for $45 million for a fifth year of the potential deal.
He's been offered 175?
5-year, $175 million.
So that comes out to $35 million. And he's asking for how much?
Yeah. He made just over $2 million last year.
What's he asking for?
They are reportedly have been offered a five-year, $125 million extension.
Yeah.
And asking, I guess he's asking for $45 million for a fifth year of the potential deal.
Oh, he wants an extra $10 million on the back
yeah.
end.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you ain't going to see that year anyway. The heck? Yeah, very interesting.
But I think there's more. We're going to get to it. There's some really fascinating numbers. Maybe why his contract is being held up because of his non-clutch numbers against good teams. I have a whole bunch of stuff to run by you guys. I think you'll find pretty fascinating.
And then we'll compare him to Tirad.
No.
That was you that said that. Well, maybe 2015, 16, and 17. Those are the only years that are
all right. Good to me. Bad.
Oh.
My bad.
Nope.
Oh. To Rod Taylor.
5 years, $175 million, and he hasn't signed yet.
Wow. You should jump all over that. Well, we still don't know what the guarantee or what the upfront is, right? I mean, it's got to be
100.
Got to be close to it. Yeah. I saw that Chad Ochocinco was visiting an establishment in Florida and left a $1,000 tip. How about that?
It was a restaurant.
Right. Well, I just said establishment.
Yeah, when you say establishment, $1,000 tip, you know.
Well, strip clubs aren't open.
Oh.
Are they? I don't know.
No, I believe that's phase two. Well, still.
We are in phase two.
They're going to wear masks but no clothes? Right. Is that how that works?
They have to wear the special N95.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Don't you? I love how so many people around the country, and not directed at me, but I see people on my social media posts who are from other parts of the country, not just New England, but even in the Midwest and out west. And people are really pissed at Florida and Texas. I mean, pissed.
Jealous or pissed?
Both. Okay. Both. You know, we're dumb. You guys are dumb. Your governor's dumb. Everybody's dumb because of all everything that's going on.
Your governor's dumb.
Yeah, your governor's stupid. Well,
that's what I said.
Great comeback.
To multiple. You're stupid. You're stupid.
You know what, guys?
But
what?
I'm looking at this mask.
Look how the strings are.
Blue side goes out.
Well,
turn the strings the other way.
More people are in fact, eyeball size is just texting me instructions. Hold the mask, yeah. Blue side facing out.
Yeah.
Nose piece up. Oh, wait a minute.
There's a nose piece.
There is. It's a little piece of bendable
metal
stuff
wire.
That's on the top. Yeah. That's good. I didn't even notice that was in there till now.
Yeah, I think I was wrong. I think blue side goes out upon further review.
Blue side out.
I've seen blue side. I wore my blue side out. I know that.
Huh.
Once during my haircut.
I didn't even realize there was this nose piece in here. Maybe I've been wearing it upside down and inside out.
Wow.
Is there a mouth guard, too? Mine has a mouth guard.
What's a mouth guard? What do you mean?
I'm kidding. Oh. Like in football and hockey. You know, you were,
oh, mouthpiece?
Dangles off the...
We can do our shows with our masks on. Is there any difference?
Hold on. Yeah, it's muffled. All right,
Uh-oh.
I got one on. All right, here we go. Hold on.
Got some interesting breaking news here.
Right, well, you're
like real breaking news?
Well,
oh no!
How do I look?
It sounds awful.
Do I look like a badass or what?
No, you don't.
Huh? My glasses are fogging up. Son of
you'd be a horrible bank robber. My glasses are fogging up. You never met.
All right, I can't do it. I'm suffocating. I'm literally sucking this thing into my mouth as I breathe. This is unbelievable. This is why I don't wear masks. All right, breaking news.
All right. Well, Josh Goodman. Again, columnist for the Birmingham News, Mobile Press Register, Huntsville. There has been a significant outbreak of the coronavirus among construction workers at Alabama's Bryant-Denny Stadium, and a lack of transparency has put many others at risk. That's it. That ain't good.
Huh.
That is not good.
That is not good. And then I read China has put another 100 million people back into quarantine, another round in another city, not Wuhan, but some other city.
And more than 10 people have tested positive, according to people familiar with the outbreak, but the number could be much higher. Now, some good news, more good stuff today. That's the first, little piece of news I've read today, which is not good. Hopefully it's Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith says he is confident that a plan can be implemented where 20,000 to 30,000 fans can attend football games in Ohio Stadium.
In Ohio?
How about that?
Wow.
Well, you look at the numbers like what the Dolphins put out. They have 65,000 that they can fit in Hard Rock, yeah. And their plan was to allow 15,000, that they could do 15,000 and still implement like social distancing practices or whatever. So, you know, the horseshoe, what does that fit, 100?
It's 100.
95, yeah. 100, something yeah. like that. So mm-hmm. I guess the percentage is a little bit higher, but.
Wow. All right.
Yep. Also, one other thing, Notre Dame Athletic Director Jack Swarbrick says he thinks some NCAA schools will fold in the next 3 to 4 years because of COVID. Now, not football team, schools will fold
with
in
their
the
endowments,
next 3 or 4 years.
I doubt it.
Then the big news of the day, one of the great college coaches ever,
Jim
Kelvin Sampson of Houston, agreed today to a 6-year deal that's worth $3 million, 6 years, $18 million.
Craig, did you just clap for Kelvin Sampson?
No, I thought he was going to go do the. I thought he was going to do the gym. I anticipated incorrectly. I thought he was going to talk about Jim Harbaugh talking about how he's.
No, that was good too. That
he's
was
ready
thing,
to go
yeah.
and play without fans in the big house, and he says his team is 100% on board.
Yep.
We've got some of that sound coming up later in Sound Street.
Sound Street coming up right around the corner. Also,
Sound Street.
When we come back, Tom Glavine, who is a former union rep, some interesting comments about baseball. And then I actually have the proposal, the owners, they gave the players two choices, A or B. Neither of them are making the players happy. This is another step backwards for baseball. I'll share those with you. In just a few moments. And then
one last thing, too, when we come back. Walt Disney World now clearly appears to be the front runner for the NBA returning. Very confident there. Lots of stats to give you about that. And MLB, I am convinced, almost nearly convinced, we ain't seeing baseball this year.
Well, I'll add to that thought when we come back.
Yep.
Also, the greatest games in NFL history presented by Affordable Air and Heat. That continues tomorrow night with the 2009 NFC Championship game between Drew Brees' Saints and Brett Favre's Vikings. The greatest games in NFL history brought to you by Affordable Air. We are affordable online at affordableairconditioningandheating.com. Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Follow the guys on Twitter at PSHEP326 and at Craig ESPN. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Good jam, man, on a hump day Wednesday. Is it the Chili Peppers?
Yeah. You like them?
I got to get their album. Every time Chris plays them, I like them.
Good guess.
Not bad. Not bad at all. All right, here's some bad news for baseball. As you know, the players think they agreed to a deal back in March where they would just have prorated salaries based on the percentage of games that get played. And it looks like it's going to be about half. The owner said, no, that's no good. We're going to lose $640,000 per game, per stadium, everywhere. We need to do a revenue split because there's no fans coming. And that would mean even less money for the players. The players say, no, that amounts to a salary cap. Somebody leaked it out. And I wish I could quote who it was. I have a tweet somebody covering Major League Baseball says, here were the two options that owners gave players. Option number one. Renegotiate a new financial agreement where we do revenue sharing. That's option one. Or two, wait until coronavirus is clear to the point fans can come back. Those are the options they gave the players.
I'm going to do my job with that. Ho, 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 ho. Ha, 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 ha. And option number three is no baseball.
That's dead on arrival, right? Now, Tom.
Hey, come on.
Tom Glavine says. Now, keep in mind, Tom Glavine was the player rep for the 94-95 strike. I mean, he was the spokesperson. Yep. He was the smart guy talking to the cameras all the time.
His parents lived about, how far did Tommy G's parents live from us? 2 miles? Tommy Glavine's lived down the street, right? Couple miles, maybe? Yeah, they're not even that. But they lived about a mile from us.
Drafted by the Tigers, I might add. Traded for Doyle.
Also Alexander. Drafted by the LA Kings. He was a great hockey player.
In fact, he says he misses hockey playoffs this time of year more than he does baseball. He wishes it was on. But anyway, he says the players are going to be blamed if the season is called off. He says, absolutely. I mean, are there two sides of the story? Does he blame a player that's cautious about wanting to come back and put himself at risk? He's sympathetic to all of it. But he says, look, if there is no baseball, the 100% of the blame will fall on the players and for their alleged, their greed. Look, if I'm an owner and I'm in business and I'm going to lose $640,000 every day, and as a collective whole, I'm going to lose $4 billion if we play without fans, I'm going to ask the players to take less. I am. Otherwise, I'm like, I don't really need to. I don't need to open the doors. Why should I voluntarily lose $4 billion?
They can shut down. They're the billionaire owners. They'll be fine. It's some of the millionaire players that may not be.
So it's bad business to open up the doors. So maybe they're doing it out of the grace of kindness to help America come back.
Yep.
Or maybe not.
But who was I listening to earlier today? I think it was Dominique Foxworth kind of making the point like, both parties, because he was talking specifically about the Major League Baseball and Players Association, saying, look, both sides need to bear, loss. They're both – nobody's going to be made whole when renegotiating a deal like this. But you look at it, the players have a fixed window. They have a window where their playing career goes on, and outside of that, they're not going to be making this sort of money on the whole. The ownership, there's no – end date on when the Steinbrenner family has to sell the Yankee, right? So that's income forever.
Yeah.
So kind of making the point, it should be the owners taking more of the loss on this one because they've got the ability to make it back and then some because there's not a playing career attached. After the guys in the uniform, after Aaron Judge is gone from the Yankees, they're still going to be profiting off of the Yankees. Aaron Judge is no longer making money off of himself. I thought it was an interesting point.
Yeah.
Not that the owners care about that.
Right.
But I thought it was an interesting point just to try to paint the picture. Because it will fall on us, inevitably, talking about how the players didn't want to take the deal.
Well, I think Stepbrother would agree with you because of his text. He says, you guys are so knee-deep in the industry, you cannot see the trees. These leagues are at least 6 months away from limping back into service. I guess he made a different point altogether. 6 months? I don't know.
No. Not 6 months.
Six weeks.
I'll tell you that right now.
I claim force majeure.
Force majeure.
And I'm wondering if they can – I'm wondering – no, because this is what's happening, in case you're just joining us. Force majeure is the term used when – it's a common clause in contracts. It frees up both parties from liability or obligation when an extraordinary event or circumstance beyond the control of the party, such as war, strike, riot, crime, epidemic, or an event described by the legal term act of God. Yeah. So the Oakland A's have John J. Fisher, the owner, has not paid the people of the Coliseum $1.2 million. So they would not be able to play there if the season started today. It doesn't exclude them from playing there forever, but it's a temporary thing. But I'm wondering, can you use the term force majeure? Can the baseball owners and every other owner in professional sports use that term for not paying players? Force majeure.
I bet they could.
I'm wondering.
I'd be willing to bet they could.
Why not?
Right.
Can't pay a stadium owner. Why? The guy, people that own the stadium, the Ring Center Coliseum, can't pay those owners. Why can't owners say the same thing?
Well, I think they are. Sure. I think they are because if there is no baseball, the players aren't getting a dime. Not one of them.
No.
So, I mean, that's why I said the NBA players are in much better shape. Most of them have received 75% of their paycheck already, whether they resume this season or not. Baseball's going to get zero if the players don't play. And maybe they're okay with that. Maybe they're okay scrapping the season and waiting until 2021. Well,
Mike Trout's might be okay with it, but the guys who are making, a million less than two, they're not going to be okay with it, more than likely.
No.
The minimum wage guys, which there are a lot of them.
Well, most of them. What is that, $400,000? Most of them. And if you don't have your money coming in, there goes your mortgage payments. And then I don't care.
So, like the NFL, it's great. Remember those guys, I forget whatever rule we were talking about. Remember the guys who made all the money were saying, oh, don't vote for it, the new CBA. But, you had the majority of the players were making, you know, minimum wage. And for the NFL, of course they weren't going to vote for it. But you know, the NBA is making strides.
I keep going back to Jeff Passan, right? And when all this started and plans were starting to be talked about for getting Major League Baseball back on the field.
Right.
He said he spoke with a player. He never revealed who it was, who said, he asked him, you know, hey, would you do the isolation hotels, go without seeing your family for an extended period of time until it can be safe in order to play baseball? And the player said, no, I wouldn't feel comfortable with that.
Right.
Jeff Passan went back to that player a day later, and the player said, well, actually, talking to my wife, she said, well, hold on, would you get paid for doing that? Yeah, you would go do that.
Yeah, I think $10 million a year for him.
So So it's easy to stay there now, to have the stance now, no, we're not going to take the money. But when you have all these guys, you know, the league minimum guys, the guys right. who, yeah, look, they'll be in the bigs for a couple years and that'll be it, right?
Yep.
They've got to make their money. And, I mean, do mm-hmm. they get to outvote the Bryce Harpers and Mike Trouts of the world? I don't know how that will work.
Yeah. A couple of things. Going back to who was the texter about talking about 6 months? Let me tell you something. The NBA and the NFL are going to be playing before 6 months. The other sports I don't know about, but you rest assured, I'll be stunned if at least the NBA and the NFL are not playing in college football. That's three, well, and that'll be before 6 months.
Yeah. Saying 6 months, I mean, it's very clear listening to these NCAA presidents, we're going to have a college football season.
Yeah.
Yep.
What it looks like, I don't know.
And keep in mind, 6 months is Thanksgiving. Okay? It is. Yeah. 6 months from like this week is Thanksgiving.
And Stepbrother says, movie theaters with a one-quarter seating isn't even close to opening, and you're wanting sports facilities. Well, I would say I wouldn't be shocked if next week when Phase 3 starts, at least in Florida and Texas, that movie theaters probably will be open. And by the way, unless it's a blockbuster, at least, you know, my experience around here and the three or four cinemas I've been to, you go to movie theaters during the week, they're barely a quarter full.
They're about a quarter full, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not a big deal.
Throw on a mask.
I saw Bohemian Rhapsody. I saw it the third day it came out last year or 2 years ago, and my wife and I were the only ones in the theater.
Yeah. And you guys sang at the top of your lungs.
Oh, it was fantastic. I felt like I was on, you know, some sort of a show. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I did have to buy the new Scooby-Doo movie, Scoob.
Scoob, how was it?
It's a kid's movie.
Did the kid like it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Kid liked it.
It was boring. It didn't have an adult sidebar humor interest.
It was on this morning. I wasn't really watching it. It was kind of on in the background for me.
Yeah.
I was doing some work
stuff. I went to bed fairly early last night. I hadn't put on Disney Channel in a while, which I get. So I said, I was going to watch the documentary. I wanted to watch something that was over in 2 hours or something. I was on my phone just looking at stuff, sports stuff. And then, so I put the Maleficent second movie on.
Maleficent, yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
Maleficent's a good movie.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the second one. This was the sequel, the second one, where the Aurora gets married.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. It wasn't, you know, it was a lot better than
Angelina
I thought.
Angelina Jolie, right?
Yes.
And I didn't see those. I didn't get around to them.
They're good.
Those are pretty good. Yeah.
They're good. I mean, it's a fairy tale.
It's no Forrest Gump, but I mean.
Come on. Forrest Gump, please. Oh, it's about the same line.
How about Green Mile? Do you like that movie?
Just as
I love that movie.
Just as believable.
Did you like Green Mile?
That was the one with Tom Hanks and who's the guy who just died?
He's dead,
right?
Yeah.
I did like that movie.
Who is that actor? The big muscular
guy.
Duncan
Clark.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I was next to him.
His last name was Coffee.
No, I was next to him at a Laker game once. Very short.
Really?
Very short.
Really?
Yeah, like 5'0" something. Yeah. A lot of muscle.
Mm. Yeah.
But short.
Yeah. Good right, radio coming, voice.
Just real quick, two quick college football notes. Gene Smith said he and Oregon AD Rob Mullins have not discussed playing the OSU Oregon in Columbus in 2020. Smith said he probably wouldn't be in favor of it because there would be less than 7 home games in 2021. And Clemson plans to reopen up campus in the fall as scheduled with students in classes and residence halls. That's according to President Clements.
Absolutely. Yes. right, we'll hear from Jim Harbaugh and Paul Feinbaum and, oh, the pizza guy, Craig Feint. We'll actually hear him talk about the pizza that he delivered to Michael Jordan. All that coming up. Sound Street next. Later on, I'll tell you how to become a millionaire. You don't want to miss it. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Taking a cruise through all the sound.
But they're not going to rook us.
Don't you ever talk about me!
Who was talking about you?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I can say anything I want. That's the beauty of this country.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
It's time for
Sound Street on Sheeman and Shepard.
All right, as we discuss whether baseball will or will not happen, Tim Kirchham on Get Up this morning said MLB divided on whether or not the season will occur.
A former player who's now an instructor and has had 30 years in the game called me on the phone on a Sunday morning and started screaming about the proposal that the owners sent to the players. And he said, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. There is no chance we're going to play this season. That's what he told me. The next day, I spoke to a general manager who is very plugged in on this, and he told me the chances of playing this year are 100%.
Well, that's two sides of the coin.
Well.
I thought he was going to say zero, and he's 100%. Okay.
Yeah, we do need to clear something up. Michael Clark Duncan, 6'5", Craig, not
no,
short.
No, here's what happened. Three of our listeners Googled it.
I Googled it.
I Googled as well. Sometimes Google's wrong because out of all of us, I'm the only one that has stood next to Michael Clark Duncan. And he's not taller than me, and I'm 6'2", 6'3", on a good day. Fact.
Okay, well, I thought he was at least that.
No.
It's because Tom Hanks and some of the others may. Well,
Tom Hanks isn't short.
Tom Hanks is 6'1".
No.
And Michael Clark Duncan towers over him in the Green Mile.
No, they had to put him on a box. I've read this story. This is what they do. Like Tom Cruise is standing on a box at A Few Good Men because he's so short to be taller than everybody. This is what they do.
You're right. Because when I read the, if I'm not mistaken, I read the book because of Stephen King.
Also. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I believe he was, wasn't he 7 feet? He was described as 7'5". Oh, God, the book was so long ago, but he was described as a very big man.
A big gentle obviously. Giant.
Yes.
Just wanted to clear that up.
Look at him in Two and a Half Men. Not A Few Good Men. Two and a Half. He did some series there before he died with Charlie Sheen. Charlie Sheen's 5'10".
Yeah.
He didn't tower over him. All right. Craig Wright again. Back to Sound Street. Here's Paul Feinbaum. Funny on why SEC presidents are voting on getting players back on campus on Get Up.
They are going to vote, I believe, to let the players come back to campus. This is seemingly the direction everyone is going in. If you don't move forward, you basically tell the donors, we're not really sure. And the donors say, why should I donate money if I'm not going to see my favorite college football team? The two go together.
The two go together. Here's Laura Rutledge on Get Up on where money is coming from for college football.
We're talking about TV money, and it depends on the program. But for the big programs, it's around 25% of their revenue. The rest of it, and this depends on a school, but I'm giving you a ballpark here. The rest of it, the 80 or so percent, is coming from the fans and also donors. That's a huge part of this. If you don't have donors in the stadium, boosters who buy those really expensive boxes and those really expensive suites and then donate more money, that's where a lot of the revenue actually comes from. So if we're talking about a university and a program trying to survive on about 25% of their revenue, even for part of the season, I think we can all do the math there and realize that's not sustainable long term.
Okay. We don't care about long term. We just care about let's get this party started in a few weeks or months down the road. Here's Jim Harbaugh. Wouldn't mind coaching in front of empty stadiums on Get Up.
You could definitely test both teams. You could test the officials and everybody. Can you test 100,000 fans coming into a stadium? Probably not. Without a vaccine, you probably couldn't do that. So, yeah, to answer your question, heck yeah, I'd be comfortable coaching a game without any fans. If the choice were play or in front of no fans or not play, I would choose play in front of no fans. And I think most of darn near every guy I've talked to on our team, that's the way they feel about it.
That's how we feel about it, too.
Well, and again, Gene Smith saying today, among other things, that he wants to play 12 games this fall, but said as few as 8 would be palatable, which is what we talked about. See, that's a very good chance that a lot of things in college football, they'll play. I don't think we're going to get a full 12-game schedule, but also the playoff format, at least this year, is probably going to be tweaked a little bit. I don't know how, but it's going to be.
Here's Horace Grant on WMVP in Chicago, the ESPN affiliate there. He still insists he was not the source of the Jordan Rules book.
I stated to everybody, that is a downright, outright, completely lie. Lie, lie, lie. And as I stated, if MJ had a grudge with me, let's settle it like, man, let's talk about it, or we can settle it another way. But yet and still, he goes out and put this lie out that I was the source behind. Sam and I have always been great friends. We're still great friends. But the sanctity of that locker room, I would never put anything personal out there.
When he says we could talk about it like men or handle it another way, yeah. Was he suggesting a rumble with MJ?
Yeah.
Kind of sounded
like that.
That's
a veiled threat. Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
Yeah.
Here he is talking about Jordan and the cocaine circus and all that. He says Jordan is actually the one who's the snitch.
He said I was the snitch. But yet and still, after 30 or 35 years, he brings up his rookie year going into one of his teammates' room, his former teammates' room, and seeing coke and weed and women. My point is, why in the hell did he want to bring that up? What's that got to do with anything? I mean, if you want to call somebody a snitch, that's a damn snitch right there.
Right there. Right there. How about that? Horace Grant. All right, here's Craig Fight. He was making the rounds on 1280 The Zone yesterday. Who's Craig Fight? Well, he claims he was the one that actually made and delivered the pizza to Jordan in 97 in the flu game, which we now know was the food poisoning game.
I was like, hey, I will make the pizza. And I remember saying this, I'll make the pizza because I don't want any of you doing anything to it. And I said, and then I told the driver, I said, you're going to take me there. It'll be my first delivery. And I was like, oh. So I go ahead and I make the pizza. And for everyone's wondering what he ate. And I've been telling this to everybody. It was a large, thin and crispy, extra pepperoni pizza. So I went ahead, I made the pizza. And I kind of geeked out a little bit watching. I was making sure that it didn't puff up. It was a good pizza because, of course, it's for Michael. So I've got to. That I had no idea at the time it was for Michael, but I had to, you assume it's for someone up there.
Yeah, he says he was a Bulls fan, by the way. Here he is. I says there's no way Jordan got sick from his pizza.
Well, I would tell you this. We obviously delivered not lots of pizzas, but enough up in Park City at that time frame because there were lots of people still up there. And so we delivered more than enough pizzas. And, of course, when this whole thing happened, I got called by the district manager saying, okay, if one guy got sick, how many others are we going to have to deal with? And there were no other reports. Nobody else got sick. In fact, later on, a few years later, I had talked to a few people that had gotten pizza that night too. And who knows how much truth in it, but they're like, no, it was fine. Plus it's a thin crisp pepperoni pizza. It's tough to get food poisoning off of pizza unless of course, obviously you add something to it, but that didn't happen because it sure as heck didn't leave my hands.
Huh. All right. There you go.
Well,
that's the final story.
Look, I understand. There's a lot of gray area in that story. There's a lot. To me, the way he looked at that, people want to say he was hungover. I'm sorry. I've seen hungover athletes play like that. I mean, Michael Jordan looked like he was ready to drop dead during that game. And that you could something. He had some sort of infection. That was not alcohol that night. That was an infection of some sort. So he might have made an all-meat pizza, whatever it was, All it takes is one bad piece of sausage. That's all it takes, one.
Well, hold on.
You can get deathly ill.
Let me ask a question to the expert here. Chris, if one gets really hammered around midnight at, say, 7 p.m. the next day, are you still hungover at that point, or have you shaken it off?
No, you've shaken it off.
So it couldn't have been alcohol poisoning? Well,
I mean, I guess it could have been. I mean, that would have to be a pretty big bender.
Really?
Feeling it.
And who would get that wasted?
To be feeling it 19 hours later.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless you got some sort of 24-hour bug, which we've all gotten at some point, but usually that's related to food.
And 24-hour bug would be.
Well, it's usually from what you ate the day before.
He wouldn't be the only one that would get it. And I'm sure
he's the only one that ate it. Well, yeah, you're right. But if it came off the pizza for whatever reason.
A 24-hour bug is different from food poisoning.
No, but you know what I'm saying? It's. something happened where, but he was, because he was fine in a day, so something had to happen. Yeah. Whether it's the pizza he ate then or something that he ate earlier in the day that kicked in.
All right,
something
coming up. You're gonna drop some DAC knowledge on us.
Oh yeah.
I'll tell you who's trying to buy the XFL. That's interesting. And I will teach you all how to become a millionaire within about an hour. All that coming up. I mean, not become a millionaire within an hour. I'm going to tell you in about an hour. How's that sound? Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.